take a time machine back to before the world went to hell, around the year 2000.
The 80s and 90s were so rad. The movies, the music, the TV, the games, that's what I want to talk about.
Like and subscribe on your favorite podcast app and continue the conversation on Facebook and Instagram. And if you're cool enough, join the show on Patreon for exclusive bonus content. And now, Less Than 2000 with Adam Wintz and Chad Bischoff.
Less Than 2000,
now part of the
HyperX
Podcast Network.
Music clubs. Music clubs.
Too many commitments.
If music club commitments make you crazy, loosen up with the freedom of PMG. With PMG Music Service, you get 10 CDs for the price of one with nothing more to buy ever.
10 for the price of one?
No more commitments.
Nothing more to buy ever?
That's right. 10 CDs for the price of one with no more commitments. Choose from great artists like Hootie and the Blowfish, Garth Brooks, Boyz II Men, Whitney Houston, Melissa Etheridge, and Madonna. Rock and pop, alternative, R&B dance, classic rock, country, and more. BMG Music Service has it all. To get more free information with absolutely no commitment to buy, call 1-800-BMG-0400.
Read my lips. No more commitments!
That's freedom.
Experience the freedom of BMG Music Service. Call 1-800-BMG-0400.
First of all, I'm loving our new production values, my friend. That's just quality top-notch. High-end podcasting right there. And number two, I love how you can just lie through your teeth on advertising. No more commitments. Asterisk, fine print. Only one, buy one CD at full price. Asterisk, fine print. No, you have to buy 20. It's just say whatever you want to say. No consequences.
Yeah, that ad was from like 93, 94.
That was the ad I remember. I was a BMG fan. I wasn't a Columbia House fan. I was a BMG fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there was less
BS
restriction. I think there was less BS. It was sort of like the whole like get 12 for only a penny. Asterisk, 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 asterisk. You know, BMG was cooler. I think this episode should be called Scam or Great Club? Because I'm going to come right out of the gate and say I don't have the answer yet.
Well, we definitely know that Columbia House was a scam. BMG was not as bad. We both did BMG. Neither of us did Columbia House. But
correct.
This reminds me of back at that age. Chad, I got a little bit of a bone to pick with you. Because, you know, you like to portray it on this show like I'm this big meanie and that I'm always picking on you and giving you a hard time. No, it couldn't be further from reality. All right. There's no joke there. We didn't need a punchline. So, you, in junior high, you hustled me. You hustled me when it came to basketball trading cards. You would have the Beckett, the more recent Beckett, and you would hustle me by manipulating me to trade a Michael Jordan scoring king card for a Alonzo Mourning draft card. You would hustle me in poker.
To season one, right now.
You would hustle me in poker. We played poker, and you would hustle me, and then you also hustled me in terms of BMG music sales. Because it made me realize that BMG was our introduction to pyramid schemes. Because not only did they have the 12 CDs for a dollar or whatever, one CD
price
for full price.
It was eight for the price of one.
There was also a component to it that if you got other people to sign up, you got extra CDs. And I remember going around school and trying to get people to sign up. And I would be like, hey, I will give you one of my free CDs if you sign up. Well, then you undercut me because you started giving two free CDs, of your CDs, to whoever signed up. So it was a pyramid scheme. Get other people to sign up and just keep doing it. And then you know who...
Did I really do that?
You definitely did that. But you know who undercut us both? Darren Deffley. Darren Deffley, when he got into this, he started giving
the show
everybody, like, I think all of his CDs except one. He kept one for himself. So I'm just like, you know what? I can't even do this anymore.
So who was the smartest then? I would have to throw it to Darren. I mean, that's genius.
He just completely undercut. But don't deflect. You hustled me in everything, man. I'm still upset about that scoring king.
I mean, if we're at the score, you're still mad. We talked about this on season one. I think this was season one, not even one and a half, this story. And yes, I did hustle you. But I have to defend myself because I feel like I was driven to hustle you because of you.
What?
Because
I'm being gaslighted here.
You would steal from me.
What?
You took money from me.
When did I never
and
took
I was
money
getting
from you?
You back. You were pissed. You took money off of my counter.
No.
On my credenza. No. I had $40 sitting there and stuff went missing. And so I felt that I needed to hustle you to get back.
I never stole cash from you, dude. We would steal CDs from each other, but I never stole cash from you. Right. We would do things like...
Maybe it was JP then.
Yes.
Maybe it was JP.
I think that actually sounds like him.
You know what then? Okay, fine. Okay, then fine.
So you were just a jerk.
Somebody,
you were misdirecting it.
No.
Oh,
somebody,
it had to be Adam.
I took it out on you. It had to. I thought it had to be you. All right. I'm going to go on record right now. Clearly, when we have microphones and cameras, it's the only time that we can tell the truth to each other. We've set this up, that narrative for 30 years now. I'm sorry. I may have hustled you from time to time. I thought that you had thievery in your bones against me. I was wrong. And if you didn't take my money, I apologize for taking you against your knowledge.
Thank you, Chad. I appreciate that. We're coming
very
up on
humbly
30 years later.
Laying myself at your feet to say I apologize for taking from you.
Well, thank you, Chad. I appreciate that. That's healing. It's healing some old wounds.
Did BMG and Columbia House teach our generation to steal? There's a theory out there that I'm actually really excited to explore today. I really think that might be the case. Napster comes along shortly after, and you're downloading music for free. I think BMG, and Columbia House, even though scam on so many levels that we're going to get into in that fine print, but I think they taught our generation that music shouldn't cost money. BMG may have, and Columbia House may have actually been the demise of the record industry.
Interesting. I think that's a good point, and I was thinking about it the same thing, but in a different way. But I like where you're going with it, because you're saying it taught us that music was free. It conditioned us that music was free. I was going with the music industry was so greedy, and this scam caught so many people up in it and cost people so much money ultimately that they were incentivized to start stealing. They're like, F you. You know, I joined Columbia House and I was supposed to get all these CDs for one penny, and it ended up costing me $400. Now I'm going to download Napster and start stealing music. That's where I was going with it. But I think there's a little bit of both.
I think it's both. I think there's... I mean, not all things are created equal, right? So, I mean, I think you can have both. I mean, this scheme, you know, where people join these clubs under the idea of getting all this music for a penny or get 12 for the price of one and all of that kind of stuff, literally,
and it was created by the big company. I mean, Columbia House was owned by Sony and Time Warner. So right. This wasn't like somebody who just went, you know what? I have an idea for a club that's going to help. No, it was manufactured by the big companies. Mm-hmm. So like 100%. This was so evil that Canada outlawed these types of predatory clubs in 2005.
Right. And they're still legal here.
Not in America.
Exactly.
It's actually still legal in 35 states. There are some states that have outlawed these practices. Well, but
Columbia House was the worst. Because Columbia House, at least BMG allowed you to choose the CDs you wanted. Columbia House would send you an album every month, whether you wanted it or not. And you yep. had to send it back in 10 days, and it had to be received within 10 days. So if there was a correct. Problem with the post office or mail, they would start negative billing you, negative charging you, and then they would late fees would apply. You not only owned the CD, but now you've got late fees and crap. And no, Columbia House was by far worse than BMG. BMG, I remember not being too terrible. But I remember even as a kid, my dad was like, you can do BMG, you cannot do Columbia House. It is a ripoff. It's a scam. And just the whole idea that they send you crap you don't want that you have no say over. And if you don't get it back yeah. to them in time, you own it plus late fees. And oh, by the way, the price was like $16 to $18 per CD in the early 90s, which is insane.
Did you know that you can change what you taste by what you hear? How can you use sound to make a deeper connection with your clients? Can we be healed with sound? Sound influences people in their buying decisions and their daily lives. In the podcast Audio Branding, I explore all of this, both with my own observations as a voice actor of over 15 years and by interviewing knowledgeable professionals in the field of advertising, marketing, music, and science. To have a listen for yourself, visit audiobrandingpodcast.com.
Which is insane. This is why I say scam or good club, great club, you know, because I remember BMG being, I enjoyed being a part of it because you had that freedom, like you said, to actually choose some of the music you got.
All of it, I think.
You know?
You got all yeah. of it. And then if you signed up your friends, you could get another six free or whatever. So, I guess you can't really treat them both the same. Columbia House was garbage. Columbia House was a straight up scam. And BMG, I don't ever remember getting burned from that. I remember actually having a good experience with BMG until you started undercutting me and it crushed my soul. And I got all the music I needed and I didn't want to get Hootie and the Blowfish.
Well, I'm not going to apologize twice, so stop digging.
Is that where you got Crash Test Dummies? Did you get Crash Test Dummies through BMG, do you think?
I most likely did, yeah.
You know what's cool about it is it gave you the ability to take a risk on something. So I
yes.
can't stand country music, but I did own two Garth Brooks CDs because of this. I owned
did you listen to them?
You know what? I had the one where he's wearing all white. It's like white and black. I had that one, but he's got like a 90s okay. Zach Moore shirt on, but the rest of it's white and black. I don't remember what song was that, but I did also have Thunder Rolls, which was his big one. And it had, I hate to admit, there is one country song that I don't hate that I can stand. It's Garth Brooks. Ah. I got friends in low places, especially the way it goes, low places, in the oasis. I got friends. It's a catchy song. I like that and Boot Scoot Boogie. Those are the two country songs I can stand.
I would have never guessed this. And I completely forgot about how I undercut you and was giving two CDs for new signups. I you know, one of those things that have escaped my brain.
I remember.
SequelCast 2 and Friends looks at movies and video games and franchises, one movie and game at a time. Hosted by Matt Bradley Schurge, Thrasher, and Alex Miller, been going since 2009, and we're part of the HyperX Podcast Network.
The Hardcore Gaming 101 podcast is on a mission to rank the top games of all time.
I like the idea that when Bruce Wayne gets angry, he switches to the Batman voice.
Why do you have such a problem making Boomerang shape like a bat?
You mean jerk. Like Batman?
Not like Batman! Just make it for me, Bruce Wayne! I can't even with this guy!
It's a Herculean task, and I'd be lying if I said it hasn't taken a toll on our cognitive faculties.
Most people would be happy to have a job during a global pandemic. Dennis!
Hardcore Gaming 101, twice a week, every week, right here on the HyperX Podcast Network.
We were doing it to each other. Literally, this taught our generation to steal from each other, to undercut, to manipulate.
Yeah.
To that music was meant for free or for a penny or at half price.
Well, and to your point, like I wouldn't steal cash from you, but I would just be like, oh, I want Chad's diamonds and pearls, so I'll just take it. And then later you'd be over at my house like a week later and be like, wait a minute, isn't this my CD? I think this is my diamonds and pearls.
And see, that's what
I'm like, I'm going to get Adam back by stealing.
Okay, well, so you didn't steal cash. I knew you stole something from me. You just admitted to it. You better apologize to me now.
I admitted to it earlier.
Because I would have never, I would have never stolen from you. I would have taken your money against your naivete, but I would have never taken your CDs. You took my CDs.
But, well, you hustled me on cash. So you hustled me with basketball cards and made me pay for.
I was informed. Isn't this what the stock market is today?
You were a shark even back then. You know what's also crazy? These business practices of these companies that they recorded their own, they pressed their own CDs. They got the master tapes and they had their own warehouses. So they weren't buying these from the distributors and from the record labels. They got the tapes, they pressed them in-house, and it kind of depending, I've seen different things online about whether or not the audio quality was different.
Well, I mean, Stereophile did a deep test on this in 94.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the actual digital frequency analysis found no differences. But top audio engineers actually did state that there was a lower quality on some of the pressing. So, and again, this might have been maybe Columbia House or BMG. I don't know which one was worse than the other. I'm just going to go on record and say it was probably Columbia House. And yeah. Columbia House being the top with all the money and all that kind of stuff, they ended up buying BMG.
Yes.
You know, so... what do you think about the analogy that these businesses were ultimately created to sell to middle of nowhere America?
Yes. I mean, the idea was people in rural places don't have a record store to go to, so they could buy them through the mail and stuff. But that also created a problem for them when they had to return the CD in 10 days and their post office is in the middle of nowhere and doesn't go as fast as everywhere else. So, I mean, look, it was just
predatory
marketing all the way around for children. And on that point, children, people under 18 and 19 in certain states cannot sign contracts. So this was completely challengeable for our parents. Like if you and I would have got caught up in it.
Yep.
Which fortunately neither of us, other than you scamming, getting caught up in your scams and your undercutting and your predatory business practices against me. You were Columbia House. I was BMG. I was trying to do the world a good thing. You were being predatory.
They taught me to do it. They taught me to do it.
And so I then had to be like Napster and steal my music from you. And see, it's all a big full circle thing. Speaking of predatory, they never actually secured written licenses to distribute the music. They would just pay the publishers 75% of the standard royalties. And then they argued, since the publishers cashed the checks,
they accepted the payment. So they were screwing the public and the artists and the labels. They're just like, they were printing their own CDs, and then they were paying 3/4 of what the value was if it was bought at a retailer.
And it gets even worse than that. They were literally then, all of the featured acts that were in the advertising, they literally like cheated them out of money, claiming that the placement was billable advertising.
Yes, we advertised for you because you were in the Columbia House magazine ad.
Yeah, so they were stealing from the artists they were advertising. They were stealing by copying their own music, and then they were paying cheaper royalties and then just making claims that by cashing the check that it was fine.
Yep.
I mean, this was the demise of the record industry.
Yes.
People want to say that the internet caused it, that Napster caused it. This paved the way for people to go, F you, man. And I mean, and we're talking like it costs a dollar at best to manufacture the CD and the printed artwork and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. and the casing.
Mm-hmm.
A dollar. $18 $18 friggin' dollars on something that cost a dollar.
Yep.
I mean, it's
amazing. It's truly incredible how much they did. And I wanna give some credit to the articles we're reading from. We clearly read some of the same articles because you were quoting directly the same notes I had in front of me. The first one is, "It's a Steal, How Columbia House Made Money Giving Away Music." That was by Ethan Trex on mentalfloss.com. Great article, and a bunch of sub-articles.
Great article.
Go ahead and listen to that. And then there's another one that I read called "The Club You Don't Want Let Into," written by Jonathan Rowe from spin.com. So good work, everybody. I mean, this is some good research. It helped us take us down memory lane, because I was funny as when you brought up wanting to do this topic, I'm like, how are we going to be able to do 30 to 45 minutes on this club? And again, we were able to get plenty of mileage out of it. And it got surprisingly more personal than I thought, because it was like, oh yeah, it just opened up all these old wounds about how you manipulated me and stole from me. So I had to steal from you. Like you said, it's a big cycle. They screw us.
Yeah.
We screw each other. And then we screw them by inventing Napster and never paying for music again. And now Spotify screws everybody. Like, artists get nothing for Spotify.
Nothing. They get like a quarter of a cent a song or something like that. Like, I mean, it's
like quarter
so
of a
bad.
Cent per million downloads. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, something
a little
like
bit.
That. Yeah.
How they get nothing for it.
Yeah, I literally, and I remember texting you, I thought going into this when we said, hey, let's do this episode, and I guess I'm taking credit for that according to you, I thought this was going to be a geek out on clubs. and then I made the mistake of using Google.
Yeah.
And I started realizing the depths of hell that these programs put on our generation, and only our generation would feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like it's now everybody knows artists get screwed over. This literally put it in middle America and said, good luck. Good luck.
You got these ads in every single rock and roll magazine, and you got these ads. I know I got my BMG form from the Sunday paper. And all the circular ads that came in it, and you had this list that you could pick through of all the codes of the stuff, and you're just like, oh, that looks good. But they push certain things. Like, there's no way Hootie and the Blowfish would be as big as they are without these clubs.
I think that's a lot of the music from the 90s.